The spirit of performance is what defines Acura. And now, it's electric. Introducing the ZDX, Acura's most powerful SUV yet. Crafted using the same formula that brought them electrified supercars and multiple IMSA championships, the ZDX has track-tested performance that packs an energy all its own. Unlock the energy and order yours at Acura.com.
Hello, everyone. You are listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. I am Jordan Hall, and as always, I am joined by the wonderful Brooke Descher. We are live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia. And Brooke, the big news, the Flyers are now without Carter Hart. He is on an indefinite leave of absence for personal reasons. There, of course, has been some speculation in how it may relate to the Hockey Canada sexual assault scandal. Danny Briere addressed those reports right now, Brooke. This morning, we're going to read Danny Briere's statement. Danny Briere, this morning, we are aware of this morning's press reports on the various serious matter. We will respond appropriately when the outcomes of the investigation are made public. The NHL has been very clear that teams should refer all investigation-related questions to them. In the meantime, members of the organization, including Flyers players, will not be commenting any further. So, Brooke, that is what we know. What we know is clear that Hart is not going to be with the team for the foreseeable future right now. And they're going to turn to Samuel Eriksson, and he's going to be their number one in net right now. Hart is one of five players that have recently taken a leave of absence. There's four others. One is no longer in the NHL. He's playing professionally in Switzerland. You can read more about this story and those five players that have taken leaves of absences at our website, NBCSportsPhiladelphia.com. And we'll wait and see how this story develops, Brooke. But as I mentioned, what we do know, no Hart right now.
Yeah.
What kind of loss is that for the Flyers and where they stand in this season, Brooke?
Yeah, I think it's obviously significant. We've had this kind of storyline throughout the first half of the year where, you know, it's great we have a 1 and a 1A goalie tandem. And it's something that I feel like everybody has been talking about. Like, this is what we deserve. Like, we're always so concerned about goaltending year in and year out. And then here it is on a silver platter. You have this opportunity to have whichever guy goes either night, this team has a chance to win. So it definitely shifts a lot. I think it's a lot of pressure on Eriksson, and I know that it's going to be a mental factor with that being like, okay, like you're the go-to, like you're going to play pretty much every single game moving forward unless there's a back-to-back. And that's a really big adjustment, and it's not something that he's not used to. I mean, in the past he has been a starting goaltender. Like, he's used to getting all of these reps, but having that huge shift where it's like, okay, you go on this alternating schedule for the most part to you're the guy. It's definitely something that's going to take a little bit to process. I feel like he's ready to rise to the occasion, but Briere also stated in the press conference earlier today that he's still young and he's still developing, and we're not going to do anything to hinder his growth. So I think that it was really great that was noted as well. Like, they know he's still developing and they don't want to do anything to kind of tarnish his confidence as he's building up such a successful season with the Flyers. Yeah, it's been, whew, what a week.
What a week indeed, right?
It's only Wednesday.
I know.
What a week.
The Flyers have two more games before the All-Star break. Brooke, it's looking like a team that might need the All-Star break.
Not might. They need it.
They need it. They've lost three straight for the first time in regulation since October 28th to November 1st. Finished the homestand 1-3-0. Brooke, I absolutely think this is a major wrench thrown in the Flyers' season. And if they were looking for some adversity, if they needed to fortify their locker room a little bit more, yeah, this is adversity. I think losing Hart is significant and absolutely puts a ton of pressure on Sam Eriksson. I absolutely think he can be a number one. I think he's got the ability. I think we've seen it in stretches, but he has not done it yet up at this level. He's still only a rookie. He's only 24, and he's 100% still developing, and he's now going to have to do that in kind of a number one role.
Throw him into the fire.
And it really leaves the Flyers now looking for a guy that can spell Erickson from time to time. We don't know who that's going to be, Cal Peterson,
no.
Felix Sandstrom,
nope.
And can they do it?
No.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Right. No, it's
no, they
I think
can't.
It's fair to be concerned about where they stand now in net.
Well, you go from the conversation where you can alternate between Hart and Erickson, and like I just said, that team has a chance to win every single time that either of them are in net. You throw Cal Peterson in, automatically your like nerves are a little heightened. You're like, okay, it's more so, are the Flyers going to outscore the opposing team? It's not going to be a game that a goalie's going to win. So it'll be interesting to see how the team responds as a whole. I think that they have continuously shocked people this season. Again, something that Briere said this morning is that he was like, if you said we were in a playoff spot at the midway point of the season before it started, I'd be thrilled, you know? And we kind of have to look at that whole aspect stepping back from things too, is that they've completely shocked everybody with this year. They've been fun, they've been exciting, they've been winning games. And yes, they kind of fell off a really tiny cliff after that incredible Stars game to kick off the homestand, but you know, it happens. The fact that they haven't lost three consecutive in regulation since the beginning of the season is a testament to just how well they've played and just how they've continuously proved people wrong. So I do think that they're going to be able to step up to this occasion and kind of, you know, shut down all these haters again. Like we're here. We're a good, competitive, young team, and we're only going to get better. So I think as long as the goalie thing is okay, if Erickson is okay, we should be okay. The word of the day, okay.
Okay. Celebrity cook Steve Martorano brings his Italian-American cooking back home to Philly. Enjoy Martorano's Prime at Rivers Casino and Steve's famous meatballs with Sunday gravy, prime steaks, and more. Make reservations for Martorano's Prime on Open Table. Brooke, I really wonder how this if this will be a distraction at all for the Flyers and for their players in their locker room. They've had a really tight locker room, and inevitably I think it can serve as a distraction because it's something the players are not going to want to talk about. I'm sure there's some concern for Carter Hart. I mean, there's guys in there that were friends with him, that were close with him, and I'm sure they're curious as to how he's doing and how, you know, the investigations with the league and with London, Ontario police, how that all develops. But I think if the Flyers still make something of this season, if they stay in this playoff race and somehow find a way to grab a playoff spot, which no one envisioned going into the season with Carter Hart,
right?
if they're going to do this, no one can say they didn't earn it. Nobody can say they didn't earn it if they lose their number one goalie midway through the year and still find a way to pull this off. With the All-Star break, Brooke, why do you think it's coming at a good time? It's going to be a lengthy break for them. Sometimes it's bad for teams. Sometimes it's good. How do you feel about it for the Flyers?
They have played so dang much.
Yeah.
I mean, that's it. Like you could really sense like at the end of, so they had a 3-4. They had a 4-6 this past week. It's a lot of hockey. Even though it was a homestand, even though they weren't traveling, It's them, and I believe it's the Vegas Golden Knights. They have played 48 games. That's the most played in the league. That is a lot. Luckily, the Metropolitan Division kind of had a rough week as well, because the Flyers are still sitting second in the Metro, which is great, given the fact that they just lost three in a row.
Yeah.
But I think it's coming at an optimal time, especially with the fact that you don't really know what Owen Tippett's timeline is going to be with returning. Just give these guys a week to rest. I think they need it. I think their players and this team collectively pushes hard every single night. They don't wave the white flag. They're not giving up if they're trailing. We saw it when they tried to come back against the Avalanche, and we saw it the other night against the Lightning. They don't quit. And I think that eventually it does take a toll on you, especially when you're playing so frequently. So, you know, get through Detroit. They have Boston at home this weekend, and then All-Star break. And I think it's coming at such an important time, because the first start of the month was pretty solid. They were playing pretty well. And then, yeah, Dallas was kind of like the tipping point, and you just kind of saw that, yes, they're pushing and they're staying in the games, but it's slowed down just a little bit. Like, they just kind of look a little tired. I would be too. Yeah. It's a lot of hockey. So, and we just cover them and we're tired, so I can't imagine how they feel.
Right.
So, yeah, I think it's coming at an optimal time. And hopefully when that's done, you know, we get some more concrete news on how long Tippett will be out, because that's a loss in every way, shape, and form. But, yeah, that's where I'm at with that. You just get them rested, and let's go for a playoff push, Jordan Hall. Let's do it.
Yeah, I think Owen Tippett could really use the break. Dealing with a lower body injury, he's day-to-day, and it's looking like it's nothing serious long-term, but they did place him on IR, which could be a sign that he's not going to play these final two games, and maybe the Flyers are right there just erring on the side of caution.
Which I'm all for.
Give him the break.
Don't rush
exactly.
Him back.
Give him the break. There's no need to rush him back. And I agree, Brooke. I think the Flyers really could use this break. I don't think it's coming at a bad time. I think it's coming at a good time. They look a little worn down. They're fighting it a little bit. And I'm sure some of even their key players that are playing are probably a little banged up and could probably use the break. And I think right now, just with some of the things that have gone on over the past couple of weeks, even with the Cutter Gauthier stuff, Jamie Drysdale coming in, battling sickness, trying to get himself situated with his own place.
I think everyone. 2024.
Yeah.
Jesus.
I think the Flyers could use it mentally just to get away and kind of regroup, recharge, and then come back and really focus on what they want to accomplish here in the official maybe second half of the season post All-Star break. Coming in at a good time, I think, for the Flyers.
Yeah, and like, I totally agree with the mental aspect of this all, because it is taking a toil on all of us.
Yeah, yeah.
But you also look at the teams that they've played, and aside from the Ottawa loss, which I do believe that is the worst loss since when they lost to Columbus, the most recent time they faced them, the San Jose game. I think those were collectively the three worst losses of the season, but they played Tampa Bay, and they never really play well against Tampa Bay. They lost to the Avalanche. They played the Stars. You know, they're playing all of these top teams. They're going back out in Detroit, and they're facing the Red Wings again. They're playing Boston. It's just, they're not playing teams that are easy to play against by any means. So just push through. They play better on the road than they do at home. So, you know, I feel confident them, you know, going out to Detroit and kind of taking care of business and kind of righting the ship, and then, you know, enjoying what's expected to be an incredible Hall of Fame weekend, alumni weekend for the Flyers, all former players coming in for the alumni game Friday night. And then they have the afternoon 12 o'clock matinee in Philly.
And Mark Recchi will be honored. Will be going into the Flyers Hall of Fame. He's a Hockey Hall of Famer, now going to be a Flyers Hall of Famer. Brooke, absolutely. I think the one concern for me was the loss to the Lightning, because the Avalanche, Western Conference team, they're done with them. They've beaten them once. They've played them twice now. The Lightning, that was their first game against for the top four teams, in the Atlantic Division. They still have 11 games to go with the Lightning, Bruins, Panthers, and Maple Leafs. Four teams with pedigree, teams that have done very good things in the past and that are good this year. That, to me, I think is something to really keep an eye on, is how they stack up against those teams. And Tampa Bay was just a reminder that those teams, maybe some people think they're starting to fade a little bit and they're on the decline, but they're teams that are really good and that can disrupt things. And I think the Flyers still have to face those teams and square off. And we'll see another one. Boston, like you said, final game before the break, a really good test.
They've struggled against Boston in recent years, too. So it's like one thing after another. It's like, I feel like I haven't had a solid stretch of games this year where I'm like, oh yeah, I feel really good about this.
Yeah.
Really good. No.
Yeah.
There are so many solid teams this year. Like, I feel like there's not really like middle of the pack per se. Like, you have your top. I mean, I guess there is middle of the pack. I'd say Flyers are kind of toward the top of the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
You know what I mean.
Yes.
But there's not a lot of really poor teams this year in the league. And I think that that is a testament as well to the fact that they've stayed in it for so long. Like, we went from having the conversation of, okay, when are they going to fall off, to, okay, like, the Flyers have a really great shot of making the playoffs. So they're up there in that conversation as well. We've heard it time and time again that Flyers aren't a team to be messed around with. Like, these opposing teams know how difficult it is to face the Flyers because of how aggressive they are, because of how they block shots, because of how they are on the rush. It's just, you know, it's become a really, night in and night out, a really great time to just watch them and cheer for them. And I was really, really hoping that they kind of straightened out the home record this year, because the crowds over the weekend were so exciting.
Yeah, they were.
The crowd against the Avalanche was probably the best I have seen it all season. And I feel like we say this like every couple weeks on the podcast, like, the crowd keeps growing.
It's getting better.
That's fantastic. Like, that's what you want, that people are actively taking time out of their day to say, we got to go watch the Flyers. Let's get down to the Wells Fargo Center. Mm-hmm. And I was really hoping that they would, you know, pull off some wins. But honestly, the Dallas Stars win was still pretty dang good. So we got to do that on home ice. I wish that that was the weekend game. I can't imagine what the crowd would have been like if, you know, but yeah, energy is just really good. I think fans are really backing this team. And I feel like everybody was kind of on like a balance beam with that as well. Like, when are fans going to fall off and be like, oh, this is just another year. But I think the way that this front office has constructed this team specifically this year, it was so well done. And after Briere's press conference this morning, I saw a couple posts on social media, and they were like, Danny Briere is going to make a damn good general manager for this Flyers team. Mm-hmm. Like, he has so much composure. He handles himself so well. He's so well respected in the league. And he has dealt with a lot in his first calendar year as GM. So, you know, you have hope for these young players on the ice, but you have so much optimism for the front office as well. And I think that that shouldn't go overlooked at all.
Yeah. And if you were looking for the Flyers' new regime to face some challenges, they've gotten those challenges. Keith Jones and Danny Briere have seen some challenges here with the Cutter Gauthier development, now with Carter Hart's absence. And I think you're seeing them deal with it pretty well. I think they're making the best out of the circumstances. And Briere, as you mentioned, Brooke, you really see his savvy. He's been around. He might be a rookie GM, but he's been around in the game, and he's very good at handling moments that aren't just the red carpet and roses. He's very good at handling some adversity, and I think that's good to have at the top of the totem pole, you know, to lead the Flyers right now. And I really think with the schedule, it all goes back to goaltending too. That's something to keep an eye on, because the Flyers really started to have a luxury of rotating Erickson and Hart. There was never really a time where they missed a beat. Like, they didn't even have to strategically schedule a goalie for like a top team and then their backup for a lesser team.
Nope.
They really got into a rotation. But aside from Hart's last start, where he had to get relieved after two periods, they really were rotating their goalies without missing a beat. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, how do they pull this off? How do they schedule, you know, Peterson or Sandstrom or whoever it may be up here? When do they get a game, and can they stay afloat with the backup goalie in net? It's something to watch, as will so many other things with this Flyers
team. A dull moment.
Never a dull moment.
Busiest, active,
never a dull day.
Flyers season in a long time.
Brooke, and I will ask you this, that you mentioned the home struggles. They're 11-2, I believe, at home. Do you think that's something they can rectify? Do you think it's maybe more of a fluke, or maybe are they feeling some pressure at home? How do you see that maybe balancing out over the course of the season?
I think it's a combination of a few things. Like, there's been so much build up for, and you know, the players aren't, you know, unaware of how fans want them to succeed, you know? So I think that there's a lot of, it's the mental aspect where, you know, you want to come in and you want to perform well and you want to have this great performance, these great games on home ice. But as long as you're getting the job done in some capacity, if it has to be done on the road now, fine. You might be able to figure it out along the way. But yeah, I just think it's a combination of a bunch of things. You have a lot of young guys, and I was laughing Sunday during the Ottawa game because I was like, this is the first time I've heard boos in a while. Hmm. Honestly, it was justified. It was a really rough game. Mm-hmm. But it was like everybody still showed up again on Tuesday for Tampa Bay, you know? So it's these fans are here. And I think that they want nothing more than for the Flyers to figure things out on home ice. And, you know, maybe they're just tired.
Yeah.
I really think they're just tired. It has been a very, very... And granted, they've had a lot of home games in January. This is the most home games they have on a calendar in the month of the calendar year this season. That doesn't mean anything when they're back-to-backs and 3-4s and traveling there and then back-to-backs at home. Like, it's a lot. So I think the schedule also plays a heavy factor into it, and, you know, we'll go from there. To get them to the All-Star break.
Yeah, get to the All-Star break, I think, is a good slogan. And there was really no cheapies on that home stand, aside from Ottawa, of course. Stars, Avalanche, Lightning, I mean, those are three teams that a lot of people think are going to contend for the Stanley Cup. So I think the home thing will balance out. If they were a nightmare on the road, that would be a concern, because I think... Right. You know, that would be like, wow, this team can't play on the road. Home, I think it's like they're going to figure it out eventually. They're not awful at home. They've mm-hmm. just gone through some skids. And three straight losses, teams go through those. I think it's all about preventing them. And for the most part, the Flyers have prevented skids from spiraling. Their yeah. worst losing streak of the season is 4 games. And there was a couple losses after regulation in that streak. Now it's just about kind of quelling those streaks, not letting them spiral and snowball. And for the most part, over halfway through a season, Brooke, they've done that.
Yeah.
And I think that'll be the challenge here.
Yeah, it almost makes you wonder. They kind of rolled into this season with zero expectations for the year, and it was very reminiscent of the 2019-2020 season before, you know, everything collapsed with the pandemic, where there were no expectations, and they just kind of exceeded that. So I wonder if it's that with the home versus road as well. They go out on the road, they have a good time, lots of team bonding, I'm sure. And they're like, all right, let's just go out there and do it, you know, as opposed to, you know, coming home and everybody, you know, with so much pressure on this team and wanting to play and wanting to win in front of these fans, you know, maybe that does play a factor. They go out on the road, there's no expectations. I mean,
that's,
I know they
point.
Have expectations for themselves, no. But in terms of like that crowd,
yep.
that kind of energy and, you know, wanting to prove people wrong, I think maybe that plays a factor.
I think that's a great point. And I'm very eager to see how they deal with some expectations now and some adversity. I think they have some real adversity, and they are starting to get a little bit of expectations in their own locker room and, of course, publicly. I think some people actually believe this team could do something with this season.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be eager to see how they handle it. But, Brooke, we are almost at the All-Star break. We'll have the final 2 games covered on the Flyers Talk podcast. And, of course, we'll keep everyone apprised over the All-Star break. But so great to see you. So great to chat with you. Thank you so much for coming on, Brooke. A big thank you to Ben Berry, our podcast producer and guru. And Flyers fans, of course, as always, thank you so much for listening to the latest Flyers Talk podcast. We were live at Rivers Casino in Philadelphia. Wherever you get your podcasts, please rate and listen. And we cannot wait to talk to you next time.